Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to invite you, if you will, to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll get there in just a moment, but today we are continuing a series that we started last week that will go through the summer. So if this is your first opportunity to worship with us at North Star, we are exceptionally glad that you're here. The howdy cards that Braden referenced earlier are in the seat back in front of you. And if any time during the service today, you need to respond in some way, you need to say, hey, I'd like to give my life to Christ. I want to renew my commitment to Him. There's places on the back of that that you can indicate your desire, and then we'll follow up with you and help plug you into best pathways for your next steps. But last week, we began this series called Living the Good Life. In our big small groups this summer, we're addressing kind of an offshoot of that just called The Good Life. But our Sundays this summer really are about how do you live the good life? How do you walk with God? And so we began last week unpacking that. And if you missed last week, we do encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast because it is a basic primer and understanding as a follower of Jesus, what should my Monday look like? From the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, what are some practices that I can adopt in my daily life to follow Jesus and learn to understand what it means to be His follower and to bless others? So last week we looked at that together, but our overarching theme on living the good life is just this, is that Jesus is good. We're familiar with the prayer that many of us have prayed before meals. God is good. God is great. So that declaration that God is good also means that those of us who follow Him, who claim to be His people, we are also called to be good. And the good news, the gospel, also is that the Holy Spirit lives within each of us and is transforming us day by day to be good people. So if we're good people, what does it mean to live a good life? So we began this introduction last week into spiritual disciplines, and we'll be visiting different spiritual disciplines all summer. Now, spiritual disciplines are essentially habits and their behaviors that we practice, that we demonstrate to help us walk in the pathway of following God. Now, really clearly, just because you may practice a spiritual discipline, it doesn't mean that you're going to be closer to God. It just means that you're putting yourself in a pathway that God's people over the centuries and thousands of years have walked with God in, adopting these patterns of behavior. As we'll see next week when Philip preaches for us, excited about that. He's going to be talking to us about how Jesus Himself modeled these different spiritual disciplines in order to walk with God. So here's some helpful resources for you. They're in the lobby. You can buy one. You can buy all of these, but they're there. You can see Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg, Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard, and Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. They're all out there in the lobby available for you. But last week, as we looked at what does it mean to begin your day with God, I gently suggested that every follower of Jesus should spend some orientation time early in the morning, as soon as you wake up, realigning your heart with God. And so here's the slide I shared with you at the end of last week's message about how to walk with God. And I encouraged you to start tomorrow morning, to pick up your Bible, to read 3 verses of Colossians each day. If you do the math, that means that in 32 days, you will have read through the book of Colossians, to think about those three verses, to reflect on those verses, and then spend some time in prayer. ACTS is a good acrostic, just to remind yourself. Balance your prayer life: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And then I also encourage you to set reminder on your phone. If you didn't do it last week, you can do it right now in the next few moments. Pick up your phone, put a daily bump on your phone, just to remind you at 12 p.m., 4 p.m., 8 p.m., just ask yourself, am I still walking with God? Am I still sensitive to what He's doing in my life? To embrace being on mission with God, and then as you move through your day, just to watch and listen for how God is working around you. But the theme of this morning is living listening. We're going to look at the Old Testament again. Next week, we'll move into the New Testament when Philip preaches. But the reality of it is how do we, as followers of God, live a lifestyle of listening to and listening for God in our life? When I say living listening, the implication essentially there is God is speaking to us. God is having a conversation with us. God is inviting us to follow Him. God's directing us. He's guiding us. He's encouraging us. And isn't it important that we as followers of God learn to recognize and respond to His voice? So we want to live listening. So if you think about it for a moment, it's more hard than ever just to live a listening lifestyle. Why is that? It's because we live in a really noisy world, right? Everything from notifications on our cell phones to news to distractions to impulses to the noises in our world, everything seems to call our attention away from living a lifestyle of listening. Can you imagine what a day might look like if you lived it listening? Here's what I think it would look like. It would be paced. In other words, you'd have this steady, certain, one thing at a time approach to your day. It would be spaced. And I know I'm being a Southern Baptist preacher, rhyming my points. But when it's spaced, it means you'd have a day that's breathable, that's ordered, it's sensible, it's intentional. And then it would be graced. You'd have this sense, as you walk through your day listening to and for God, you'd have this sense of blessing. You'd have increasing contentment in your life. And you'd be more and more aware of the presence of Christ throughout your day. Now, let's ask ourselves, what's the opposite of living listening? The opposite of living listening may be what some of you are already doing, to be honest. But the opposite is just this: your day will be crazed. It'll be hectic, unplanned, chaotic. Your day will be mazed. It's uncertain, a sense of being lost in the maze of your day, and it's confusing. And your day will be lazed. And I'm sorry for abusing the English language, but you just have to sometimes when it rhymes. In other words, you'd have this lazy approach. You'd be apathetic, just drifting, and purposeless. So let's ask ourselves this morning, why should we live listening? What are we listening for? Perhaps we need to remind ourselves it's not what, but who are we listening for? So let's turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 11 verses for a really unique and special example from the Old Testament of someone who understood what it meant to listen for God. It says, "The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence," and Eli was the high priest at the time. "Now in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. Now one day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place, and before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. And then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli, and he says, 'Here I am, you called me.' And Eli replied, "Well, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Now there's a helpful explanation in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. And he got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. And he told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say this, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And now, as you understand, the fourth time, the Lord came and he stood there and he called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do something in Israel that everyone who hears about it will shudder." So that is Samuel's experience of learning to listen to and for God. So what do we see here? Let's just kind of summarize some points real quickly. First of all, we're told that the word of the Lord was rare and prophecies were not widespread. So we can forgive Samuel and we can forgive Eli for their initial confusion. It had been a while since God had spoken to a leader or a spiritual person there in Israel. Now, just in context of what had happened up to this point in the life of Israel, immediately following this, you have the book of Judges. And during the book of Judges, it was a time when there was no king in Israel. God raised up men and women to lead Israel as judges during that time as needed. As the people cried out, God raised up helpers for them, spiritual leaders for them. But sadly, each and every time, after that leader faded from the scene, the people turned back away from God. And they would reach this point of desperation. They'd cry out to God, and God would raise up another judge or another deliverer for them. There's a really sobering statement at the end of Judges, in Judges 21:25, and it says this, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did whatever seemed right to him." In other words, everyone's morality was just whatever I think is right. There was no basis of like, I'm going to behave on a biblical foundation. I'm going to follow God. Everyone just used themselves as their own moral compass. Then we can also observe that even those who were supposed to be spiritual leaders were unfamiliar with God's voice. Even in the context of 1 Samuel, you find out that Eli wasn't a great high priest and that his sons were corrupt and were essentially stealing from the offering plates of the nation. And then thirdly, after the second experience of thinking that Eli was calling him, the text tells us the reason for the confusion. So you might remember that verse, and it says this, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." What can we learn from this? What can we derive from it? And it's just simply this. A lack of relationship with God means that you won't be able to understand when and how God is speaking to you. It doesn't mean that God isn't speaking. It just means that when you're not in fellowship with God, when you're not in relationship with God, you won't understand what he's saying, when he's saying it, why he's saying it, or that he is saying it. It means that even though the God of the universe may be speaking, you may be like Samuel and misunderstand the source of the messages that are coming into your life. So let's think about that for a moment. What if God is really talkative today? Now, I don't want you to go there with like your family member who just like makes your ears bleed because they're always talking. But what if the God of the universe loves you so much that he actually is speaking to you pretty consistently? That he's encouraging, he's strengthening you, he's correcting you, he's guiding you. Wouldn't you want to know what the God of the universe is saying to you? So that like Samuel, you can shift your understanding and say, it's not Eli, but it's God. And begin to say, speak. Now I'm listening. You see, learning to listen to God may be easier than what you think it is. Because God has help. In fact, in Scripture, in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 2, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. And day after day, they pour out speech, and night after night, they communicate knowledge. In other words, creation itself is always testifying to the reality and the beauty and the wonder and the sovereignty of God. And maybe we should just start paying attention and listening. And then Jesus said something interesting on what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. He comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees look at these crowds and they're all singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna," and offering praise to Jesus. And the Pharisee says, "You should keep them quiet." This is in Luke chapter 19, verse 39. They say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And then Jesus says, "I tell you, if these humans keep silent, even the rocks will cry out." In other words, when Jesus is present, all creation praises. Perhaps we should begin listening afresh to the voice of God in our life so that we can learn to live a good life. Now, this phrase that was in the passage that we read, the word of the Lord had not yet come to him. And to the end of the passage, we see that the Lord came and stood there. So there is this presence. There's this personhood of God that's referred to by this phrase, the word of the Lord had not yet come to him. Now, profoundly, when you do a search in your English Bibles for just the phrase, the word of the Lord came, do you realize that it's mentioned over 103 times in the Old Testament? The word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, we see it with Abraham. We see it again with Samuel in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. David, 1 Chronicles 22. Solomon, 1 Kings 6, 11. And I didn't want to just bullet point 103 different examples of this. But he appears to the prophets, to the kings, over and over and over. The word of the Lord came. And then, if you know the Gospels well, we get to something profoundly and wonderfully interesting in John chapter 1, verse 1, when John the Apostle begins his Gospel like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so our last point is just this: Jesus is the Word of God. So when we see throughout the Old Testament the hint, the beautiful picture of the word of the Lord came, it's hinting to us as followers of God that Jesus himself is present when God speaks, when God comes to people, when God calls people. Jesus is the voice of God to us. So what does it mean for us to live listening? I think it's profound that God even had to tell the 12 disciples to listen to Jesus. He's basically saying, guys, you need to learn to listen to Jesus. He's my son. Because they'd become distracted by things and sensations and fantastic miracles. But in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, we see this happening. Jesus has just been transfigured on the mountain of Transfiguration. And Peter and James and John are there. And they're like, oh my goodness, because Moses and Elijah show up. And they say, we should build three tabernacles here, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And they're basically equating Jesus, making him equal to Moses and Elijah. And God the Father is kind of like pulling his hair out, going, you're missing the point. Jesus is not one of three equals with Moses and Elijah. He is singular. He's supreme. He is creator. He is God. And so God says, live listening. And this is how he says it. While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. How well are you listening to Jesus on a Tuesday, on a Saturday? Are you, as a 21st century follower of Jesus, living, listening to God in your life? You know, sometimes when we talk about the importance of walking with God in this personal love relationship with God, sometimes we can think it's just a privatized experience, that as long as like we're doing our Bible study and we're attending church and we're minding our own business, that that's all that God wants for us. And if we're not careful, we'll be looking like this graphic that you see on the screen behind me. It's like, here's me, minding my own business, going to church, reading my Bible and praying every day, and here's the world right now. And we divorce our spiritual walk with Christ with a practical way to live out our faith in our world. But instead, and here's the principle, living listening prepares us to live in this world, to impact it, to advance the kingdom of God, and to do good. It means that we have to apply what we believe to how we speak, to what we post, to how we shop, to how we vote, to our attitudes, to our behaviors, to our relationships, to our places of work. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you see this inner life progressing to being outwardly directed. When Peter writes, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you, now hear the description, they'll keep you from being useless or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our faith, learning to walk with God through our day, learning to start our day with God, learning to walk with God throughout the day, living, listening. It's not this privatized, isolated, and insulated faith where we're just trying to be good Christians and mind our own business. It's externally directed. We're called to impact our world. We're called to make disciples of people for Jesus. We're called to be agents of goodness. And we're expected as followers of Jesus to be useful, to be fruitful in our world. If you were here last week, you might remember we showed a video from our team that went to Istanbul and Cyprus. And Bethany did this amazing job of putting the video together. And many of you came up and shared with me or others afterwards that it was a powerful video. But do you realize that six of you approached either me or Bethany or Braden and said, I want to go on the next trip. I feel like God is moving me to go. This is my suspicion. When six people respond immediately to that, I suspect there's about 20 more that are feeling God move in your life in some way to respond. It may not be to go, but it may mean to embrace a new level of prayerfulness, maybe to give, to respond in some way. You see, when God speaks, we need to learn to listen and to respond. But what do we all typically do? We come to worship service and it's powerful, and perhaps whoever's speaking speaks a word that we feel a quickening of our spirit. We feel a conviction in our heart. We feel drawn to action. We feel drawn to response. But here's what happens. First of all, we convince ourselves, like Samuel did, that it's coming from another source, that it's not God. Some of you are just like, I'm just hungry. Sometimes our spiritual radar is rusty. We're not used to listening. Other times we've heard from God. We've received a message. We have received an impulse or an inclination or a drawing to respond, but we just get on with life. Busyness deafens us. Or we forget. And aren't you glad sometimes that you forget? Just like, I'm going to go on into my life and not think about that. Sometimes you're scared to respond to God. What will it mean if I respond to God in obedience and faith? And finally, we just don't want to be weird. What God is asking of us, or what God is speaking to us, we fear it's going to make us different in our families or in our friendship groups or at work. It's going to make us stand out or stand up. What has God been speaking to you about lately? What have you been doing your best to ignore, to set aside, to pretend like it wasn't God, that it was just gas? I didn't mean to say that, sorry. What are you avoiding? Because if we're followers of God, one of our convictions is that God is speaking to each and every one of us every day. When was the last time you know you heard from God? Perhaps a better question is, when was the last time you were listening and ready to receive what God is saying? I'm here to tell you today, and here's a principle, that living listening and acting on God's leading is what you were made for. It's how you are intended to live. It's exciting. It's adventurous. It's challenging. It's deepening. As you live listening and you put your faith into action, you're going to experience the abundant life, the joyful life, the deeply meaningful and purposeful life that your soul is already longing for as you learn to live listening. You remember what God told Samuel after he finally said, "Speak, Lord, now your servant is listening." God said, "I'm about to do something. Something in Israel that's going to cause everyone who hears about it to shudder." In other words, we don't just live listening just for that to be the end of the game. It's like, okay, I'm listening now. That's all I'm going to do. We live listening to respond. We practice living listening so we can practice living doing God's work. And for Samuel, learning to listen to God led him into a lifetime of leading God's people. You see, when Samuel became older, The people finally wanted a king, and Samuel would anoint first a man named Saul, and then he would anoint a man that all of Israel still looks back to, David, as king of Israel. Samuel stepped into the middle of God's activity in his lifetime and his generation because he learned to live listening and he responded to God. How about you this morning? Would you like to step into the middle of God's activity in your life, your lifetime, your generation, and see how God might speak through you, encourage you, prepare you, help you? See, the reality of it is God is speaking, and he speaks to invite us into his activity, to his work. God told Samuel, I'm about to do something. Need you to listen up. God may be saying the same thing to you. I'm about to do something in your family. About to do something at work. About to do something in your neighborhood or in your community or in your friendship circle, at your school. I want you on board. I want you ready to be an agent for me. You know, in the English Standard Bible, I did a search and the phrase, thus says the Lord, because God spoke a lot in the Old Testament. But that phrase appears 415 times in the Old Testament. Do you think God is speaking less today with the coming of the Messiah, the sending of Jesus, the indwelling of his Holy Spirit within each and every person who's decided to follow God? Do you think that he's speaking less than he was? Probably one of the most familiar examples from the Old Testament of someone hearing and responding to God is in Isaiah chapter 6, which says, Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, who will I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Sounds a little bit like what Samuel said, doesn't it? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Here I am. Send me. So let me offer you some benefits of listening and responding to God. First of all, when you listen and respond to God, it's going to put you in right relationships with other Christians and with lost people. It's going to lead to blessing because God blesses you to be a blessing to others. Just in a few weeks, on July 13th, Braden is going to be preaching for us. He's going to be preaching about the spiritual discipline of community and fellowship, and it's then that we'll learn that listening and responding to God leads to the building up of the church. And then on August 3rd, you're going to get to hear from a new voice on the North Star staff. Our new youth minister, Matt Nowitzki, will be preaching for us, and he'll explain how listening and responding to God will prepare us to share our faith with the lost. And the final benefit of listening and responding, it just invites you to be smack in the middle of God's activity in our world. So what's our application for today as we wrap up? It's just simply this. Learning to listen to God begins with esteeming the Bible in your daily life. It just supports what we talked about in the message last week. God's word in your life daily is imperative to walk with God. And the end goal is not just, I hear you, but the end goal is to respond to what you hear. It's a humble surrender and it's an adjustment in your life to respond in obedience. And then we should recondition ourselves to assume that God speaks rather than just ask yourself, I don't know if God's speaking. Just assume that God's speaking in your life. Just as if someone's having a conversation with you, you wouldn't just walk away from them as they're talking. In the same way, we as followers of God should assume that God will be speaking to us. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And then in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We are his sheep. We should learn to hear and recognize his voice. And then again, I just support what I said last week as an application. Keep your phone alerting you at 12 and 4 and 8. And along the way, just look for interesting moments and interruptions or inquiries about faith or opportunities or even things of beauty and wonder. And allow all of those to prompt your praise, to prompt a pause in your life just to reorient your heart to God. And then lastly, ask your family, friends, and other followers of Jesus how God is speaking in their lives these days. Make this a topic of faith community. Ask your family, how's God been speaking to you? What do you think God is saying in your life? How's God encouraging you? How he's leading you? How is he convicting you these days? What do you hear God saying? So next week when Philip preaches, he's going to lead us into the New Testament and he's going to show how Jesus modeled spiritual disciplines for us.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.